Let's Grow Big Together and all the other podcasts created by Feast of Fun are made possible because of fabulous people just like you. Thank you.
For many folks who are passionate about building muscle, they found their first inspirations in comic book superheroes.
Superman, Captain America, the Hulk, She-Hulk, He-Man, She-Ra, and so many more jacked icons captured our imagination with the dream of being big and strong while making the world a better place for everyone.
Let's Grow Big Together, the only podcast that's impervious to pink kryptonite, because, you know, we're already that way.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion. In this series, we're taking a look at the passion for muscle, how to build it, how to keep it, muscle gods and muscle worship, and how LGBT folks are connected to bodybuilding.
Today, bodybuilder, powerlifter, and cosplayer Joe Mikeson joins us to celebrate a decade of competition and dressing up as legendary comic book superheroes.
Listen as we take a look at the original superhero, Milo of Croton, who carried a baby bull on his back every day as a kid until he and the bull grew up to be huge and strong.
Why eating eggs is so important for building muscle.
And how to get in touch with the sexual side of being a fitness influencer.
Hi, everybody. This is Let's Grow Big Together, the only podcast that is impervious to pink kryptonite because we're already gay. Our guest today is bodybuilder and cosplayer Joe Mikeson, who's celebrating a decade of competition and dressing up as a legendary comic book superheroes. In this case, Superman.
Hey.
Welcome to Let's Grow Big Together, Joe.
Hey, welcome, Joe. Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
How are you? It's going to be 10 years since your first competition.
Yep, my first competition was in 2012. So yeah, coming up on 10 years now.
And how'd you do in that competition?
That was my first competition. And let's see, I think I took 5th in the novice class and 4th in the open class. At the time, there was only men's bodybuilding. That's when I started competing. There was only...
So no, like, physique?
There was no physique, no classic physique option. It was just bodybuilding.
Well, there you go.
But you're still a young sprite of a man. It's like, you're. How is this possible? There was not a competition. So the physique competition wasn't around a decade ago. This is something new.
No, that's been relatively new for the men's division, at least. They've had lots of female figure competitors and bikini competitors. They've had lots of different classes. But men's physique is relatively new, and classic physique is even newer than that.
Wow. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. Huh. And so in terms of, like, you know, why you dress up as a superhero, as a comic mm-hmm. book superhero, is the bodybuilding the muscle that attracts you to doing that? Or, like, is it, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg, I guess, or the ox or the muscle?
Both.
Yeah. It's a simultaneous thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all kind of grew up getting inspired by superheroes. I know, like, touchstone moments for me were, like, Lou Ferrigno, Hulk growing up, or Christopher Reeve, Superman. Like, those are some pretty iconic things that, I think inspire a lot of people to start going to the gym. And then kind of cosplay and comic books have always been a big part of my life. So that kind of came out of it then, was getting big to look good in costumes.
Well, certainly that Lou Ferrigno when he's, you know, transforming and that shirt just rips off his body. You're just like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
And can you do that? Have you done that?
No.
No?
Yet.
Yes.
Yet.
How many shirts have been ruined by the just destroying, you know, ripping them off? Like, I one time hooked up with this guy who was obsessed with my body, and I was wearing a really nice, expensive t-shirt, and he thought it would be really hot and kinky to rip it off me. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? You're crazy. You know, and I was like, get the hell out of here. This shirt costs $80.
Yeah. Well, imagine if he tears up your shirt. What else he's going to tear up? Could be a good thing.
Well, Joe, in terms of your first love, who was your first comic book icon? Was it the Hulk? Was it Superman, Captain America?
Honestly, the first one was actually Spider-Man.
Oh, really?
I am still a really big Spider-Man fan.
Why is that? What's about his story that appeals to you?
I think for me, it was he was the most humanistic of the superheroes. Mm-hmm. Like Superman was always an idol. He did everything perfect. Everything always worked out for him. Spider-Man always felt more relatable because he always saved the day, but then would always go home and just get yelled at by boss, girlfriend, whatever the case may be. And I was like, oh, it just felt more realistic to me. And I was like, I relate.
Probably easier to relate because, you know, you're a little kid. Mm-hmm. He's a teenager. Peter Parker's his teenager. Mm-hmm. Whereas Superman, you know, you see him kind of grow up, but he's an adult
right.
by the time that he's really his superhero mm-hmm. character. Mm-hmm. So you understand what it's like to go through that kind of like, have to do homework.
Yeah.
What is like being bit yeah. by spiders.
Yeah. Real like life superhero balance.
Yeah.
Well, I see. So Superman is the story of Jesus. And the Hulk is the fear of nuclear apocalypse.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Captain America is about steroids. True. And Spider-Man is about the anxiety of growing up, and the squirting is a metaphor for ejaculation. You know, and what is the metaphor? I think Wonder Woman is about sadomasochism.
Well, yeah, definitely the guy who wrote about it was interested in polyamory and sadomasochism.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's why she's always, like, tied up.
That's her one weakness. Yeah, it's you have to tie her up to...
Tie her up, and then she's sitting in that chair, but she'll get out.
Yeah.
You tie her up, down. And she'll force... Or she ties her enemies up.
Right.
And she forces them to tell the truth.
Yes.
And, you know, kind of right, like right now, we got to have you caught captive.
Should we tie Superman? Him up? I have rope.
Okay.
It's made out of kryptonite.
Oh, there we go.
Tell me the truth, Joe. How do I get such big muscles like you?
Well.
What kind of kryptonite do I need?
Pink.
Pink, lots of it. Lots you know, pink kryptonite is a real thing.
Yeah, that's a recent, like, 2000s era revelation thing.
Yeah, so for people who don't know, if Superman, the legit Superman, is exposed mm-hmm. to pink kryptonite, would you tell the listeners what happens?
Well, he suddenly becomes way more interested in Jimmy Olsen than Lois Lane, uh-huh. And also compliments his curtains, I believe.
He's into interior design.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he loses all heterosexual interest. And Jimmy Olsen's butt then starts to hurt all the time. You know?
Well, Jimmy is also like a drag icon because there's so many times that Jimmy is like dressed up in drag to like get the story to go places where Jimmy can't go.
It's the history of the character. It was sometimes in a parallel universe, you know, Superman was romantically involved with Jimmy Olsen, but he was a woman.
Oh.
Yeah. And, you know, in terms of like what we're doing right now, if you can see the three of us, we're all dressed as different Supermen from parallel universes, right? So you have...
This is where we do the Spider-Man meme.
Who are you? What is going on?
Yeah.
There we go. There we are. So you guys can see this on YouTube, youtube.com/feastoffun or facebook.com/feastoffun. We are experimenting. We're trying to live stream this. So if it fails miserably... blame technology, not me. Because I feel like, you know, DJ Superman here. Let me play you some great stuff from Kryptonite. And then the music in Kryptonite's not very good for
Kryptonite.
Earth ears.
Yeah,
you know? Obviously. Because it's super enhanced, you know.
It's super techno.
So you dress up as a comic book superhero, and you don't go just to comic book conventions. You also go to bodybuilding conventions like the Arnold Fitness Expo.
Yeah, I've been to the Arnold.
Yeah.
I mean, it hasn't happened for the last couple of years, but I think I've been like the last 7 years in a row to that. I've been out to the Olympia once. I think I'm trying to go back out to that. But yeah, I've
dressed as Superman.
Yes, I did go to the Arnold 1 year dressed as Superman. I did. And just told people, oops, I went to the wrong convention.
Were people like, you're not big enough?
No, people loved it.
They were really nice.
Yeah.
That's the interesting thing about bodybuilding scenes is that from the outside, people think that bodybuilders are going to be the most judgmental and body negative people because a lot of them look extraordinary, right? But then, you know, you actually become part of the community and everyone's like rooting for you. They're like, you know, not in the Tyra Banks, you know, I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. No, but no, seriously, they're like, you know, I want you just to live your best life and your best body. And if that means doing whatever it takes to pursue that dream, do it.
Well, and that's typical of like gyms in general. You know, a lot of people have a lot of anxiety about going to the gym. They're like, I'm going to get judged by this kind of stuff. And it's like everybody at that gym is going through something themselves. And so you just never understand what other people are going through. And so you always give like that amount of grace to people because we're all on our own journey.
Yeah.
And most people at that gym understand that. So that's not something to fear, really.
Never fear, but fear itself.
Fear is the mind killer.
I want to share with you the first bodybuilder, the first superhero, Milo of Croton.
Okay.
The inventor of progressive overload.
Ooh, that's a real person.
This is a person who actually lived. He was a famous Greek wrestler.
Okay.
Who lived in the 6th century BC in the town of Croton.
Okay.
Hence his name, Milo of Croton. And a lot of the legends or stories attributed to him were also attributed to Hercules.
Oh, okay. Who
probably did not live. Wasn't a real person.
You mean the son of the great god Zeus was not a real human being?
I'm confused.
Sacrilege. So in the small town of Croton in the south of Italy lived Milo, who won the Olympics in wrestling 6 years in a row.
This is like original Olympic. This is
original OG, original gangster of the Olympics.
Yeah.
He was a star. And like today, back then, legends grew that exaggerated their attributes. And with Milo was his muscularity and his strength. So there was a story about him as a young boy. He had a pet, a bull, that he would carry on his shoulders every day through the town. And as he got older, the bull got older and he got bigger and bigger and stronger. And that's where the concept of progressive overload comes from. If you want to be bigger, you have to lift bigger weights, but you can't just lift them right away. You have to sort of like grow into it. Right. And so Milo finally became this muscular, you know, god, right? Of this bodybuilder.
A Greek god.
When he walked into the town square, finally as an adult, with this giant bull on his back, and he threw it on the ground, and he killed it and ate it.
You gotta have your meat, right? You need your protein sources.
But, you know, everyone's like, oh, you grew up with this bull, you guys were friends, you love each other. He's like, no, I feed on it.
Yeah, if I see someone cutting up a weight in the gym and eating it, I think I'm going to back away slowly. But.
And there's a guy at one of my gyms that I work out that he has the nickname The Vampire. And I came up with the nickname as a joke because he's this tall, giant, muscular, you know, towering figure. And there's this guy there who's always asking him, hey, man, what do you eat? What do you eat? Like, tell me about your diet. Tell me about that. And he just to shut him up, he's like, I eat 6 meals a day and I eat 20 grams of protein or of red meat.
4 pounds of
ridiculous.
4 pounds of red meat a day. I'm like, how can your colon even handle that?
Yeah, yeah.
My heart hurts just hearing that.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's not the case, you know, but he was just telling him bullshit just to shut him up. And I said to him, it was like, well, you don't know what kind of meat he specified. It might be human.
Because that goes down real easy, right?
Yeah.
That blends a lot easier.
Once you capture them. And he was like, kind of like, he kind of believed it, right? So, you know, we call him the vampire, and now everybody's calling him the vampire. And I was like,
does he know why yet?
He doesn't know. Oh, when he finds out, I'm going to be in a lot of trouble.
When he listens to this, he might find out. Like, am I the vampire?
You know, I wouldn't mind being bitten by him. But so anyways, Milo of Croton had this similar kind of, you know, legendary status. And it went to his head. And so one day he was going to punch a tree down with his bare fists. And he...
What'd that tree do to him?
Well, he was just showing his strength, you know.
He was going to carry it every day.
It was a, you know, half-rotten, half-dread tree. So he's like punching it. And his fist got stuck in the tree and they couldn't get him out. And they're not going to amputate, of course. So they all went home to bed. And at night, wolves came and devoured his body. The circle of life. And the bull from heaven said,
what's the lesson there?
The lesson is know when to quit. You know, test your boundaries, but never make stupid decisions, you know? And, you know, sometimes I feel like, and I see a lot of young guys who want to get into bodybuilding, they lift with their ego and not listening to their bodies. You know?
Anything I've ever fisted, I've been able to get my fist back out of. That's for sure. You know, it's never been stuck.
So, Milo.
Joe.
Joe, tell me about, like, you know, your relationship to your body, but also I'm kind of interested about your relationship to your father. What does he make of your bodybuilding and you being gay and being into superhero comic book characters?
I mean, both my parents have been really supportive of everything in my life. Growing up, and I mean, I didn't start competitively, I guess, weightlifting till like after college, stuff like that. So it's only been like the last decade or dozen years where I started lifting competitively, I guess, more seriously than just your average gym goer and with the diet and everything.
So your parents are like, I don't want you to take steroids. I don't want you to weight.
Yeah, I think everyone has that talk of what, you know, and I've helped my dad sometimes be like, here's the protein powder you should use. Don't waste your money on that one. You know, I get those questions a lot still.
Are you getting your parents into fitness?
I try to keep them just generally healthy. My dad actively works out and my mom does a lot of Tai Chi. And a lot of aerobic exercises still. So I'm just trying to keep them active.
Mm. Well, Tai Chi is good to know, you know, because it's about moving and controlling your body slowly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're powerlifting, you want explosive, eccentric or concentric? You know more about this than I do.
Eccentric.
Eccentric is the
extension. So
like if you're bench pressing, it's pushing the weight up. Mm-hmm. If you're picking something off the floor, it's picking it off the floor, right?
So yeah.
It's going against gravity, explosive, and then going slowly like a Tai Chi master, you know? And in terms of like, you know, bodybuilding with your family and your father, like, does your father like look at your physique and be like, you know, is he proud? Is he like worried? Is he like, what is his reaction to it?
Yeah, no, I think they're super proud of me. They're at least that they keep coming to all my shows. So
that's really,
yeah.
All the body. So when you competed, cause you've done how many contests?
I think I've done 13 shows in the last 10 years. So wow, it's been like amazing. Every other year I do like two or three shows usually.
And so you've seen kind of like the scene evolve over a decade.
Right. Yeah.
And in terms of besides, you know, the physique and the new sort of subcategory. So guys with, you know, poor quads can still compete and win. Just shade you there. No, but
In
their board shorts, which I absolutely hate. Like I want. Like,
I'm team anti board shorts as well.
I don't know what they do. Why they do that? Is it just because they want to visually separate physique?
I mean, the idea was that you know it was a beach physique. That's how it started. Was that you have your big mass monsters in bodybuilding, and you have your more attainable beach physique gym goer guy, and in your men's physique category. And I think the board shorts came along with that. Probably just because people didn't want to be on stage with Speedos. Yeah, I think it was anti-Speedo more than anything else.
Mm-hmm. And so in terms of like, you know, acceptance of sexual identity, you know, because we know about the story of Bob Paris, who was at the time when he was competing in the late 80s, early 90s, he was seen as the most aesthetic competitor in all history. Mm-hmm. And then he came out as gay and they're like, we don't want you. Get out of here.
You can't sell protein.
But now it's like, it almost feels like you have to even have an OnlyFans just to make it, you know?
Yeah, they've been super supportive. I'm relatively new out of the closet. I only came out in September.
Oh, like this year?
Yeah, like, not, what is that, 8 months ago? So, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, congratulations.
Thanks.
Oh my God, we should have thrown a cake.
Actually, yeah, that's all right.
High protein cake.
Came out to your parents or just came out to everyone?
Well, I came out to my family first, and then I did the stereotypical October 11th, which is National Coming Out Day, did the big announcement to everyone else and stuff like that. And I'm going to bring it back around. I wasn't sure if I was going to do it or not. And then my sister actually sent me the article because the latest iteration of Superman, Jonathan Kent, who is the son of Superman and Lois Lane, they came out in 2021 on October 11th. They came out with the issue that he comes out as bisexual.
Yes.
So my sister sent that to me and I'm not usually like this, but I was like, I kind of take this as a sign. I was like, I think this is a sign that like I need to get, you know, finally come out to everyone for that. So that was a very cathartic moment for me. That's
great. Were you dating guys before you came out or seeing guys?
I've been seeing some people before that, but that was the first time like publicly letting everyone know.
Wow.
So like Superman made you gay basically.
Yeah, more or less.
With pink kryptonite.
Yes.
He's like, you know, you look so great with that Superman jacket or what's it? It does. Although I have to say, like, you know, with this big, big cape, it does make me think like Gone with the Wind. Like you saw it in the window.
Do you got a staircase I can descend down later?
Just show everybody. Will it show up on the camera?
Yeah, literally. Yeah, yeah.
There we go.
There we go.
Yeah, look at that. Shit.
Can you do a Wonder Woman spin?
Yeah, whereas for me, it's like I'm wearing a onesie and you can just kind of unzip and show you like, I got nice pecs. How about you? It's very showgirls. Mm. And then Mark, you're wearing a kind of a t-shirt from the.
But I do have the Superman little
super curl.
And prove the curl.
What's your thought on the curl?
I like that. I'm pro curl. Yeah. I like it.
You actually subtle. Have a wig with a curl on it.
I do. I do for when I summertime when I just get sick of it and want to buzz the head short and stuff like that. I do have a regular black guy wig, and I've cut up like some of the hair back and glued it back on front to get the curl.
What else do you like to cosplay? What are the characters you into?
Let's see. The first one I did Superman was technically the first one, but that was more just a Clark Kent costume with a Superman shirt underneath. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I've done Robin from Batman.
Oh,
I've done a couple different versions of that. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I've done a lot of Dragon Ball Z characters, which I think was a lot of another big iconic moment for a lot of people growing up. They got them into fitness. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I've done Bolin from Avatar: The Last Airbender. Oh, I'm sorry. That's Legend of Korra.
Okay. I noticed that lesbians love to do the Joker.
Really?
Have you noticed that? There's a lot of women who love to do the Joker.
The Joker specifically, not the Harley Joker. Quinn or...
They do Harley Quinn sometimes, like, okay. Especially if they're like in a same-sex relationship. Mm-hmm.
The partner.
One of the girls will be Harley Quinn and the other one will be the Joker. And it seems like that's the one that I see most of the time. They're kind of like... crosses the gender lines.
Nice.
If there are lines of gender.
For you, like, is it, you know, more satisfying to wear something that kind of transforms your body? Or is it better to just have something that sort of shows off your actual body? Because your Instagram handle is Muscle Suit Not Needed, right?
Yep. That started because of a Facebook argument where I was asking for opinions on how to make a muscle suit for a Superman costume, actually. And somebody just told me to start working out.
Oh, really?
Instead.
But had you already been working out?
One of the comments from a person I did not know was, if you look at his Facebook profile picture, it's him on a bodybuilding stage. Okay.
So he's like, do you even lift Superman?
Yeah, yeah, it was...
Well, that's what I like about dressing up as a Bizarro Superman is that you can be just like, I don't feel like lifting today. It's hot in here, you know. Mm-hmm. And then Bizarro Superman can be anything you want it to be, you know.
Yeah, I think I've got a couple different costumes that are when I'm more in season shape, and more costumes that are more less revealing probably when I'm out of season. Kind of going through the years and stuff like that. So
padding here and there.
Yeah, some that are some for when I'm bulking, some for when I'm cutting.
I have a friend who works in like the nightclub scene. Mm-hmm. He's always wearing like body suits, and he usually has like platform shoes on. And he said that people always are fixated on the junk. They always want to, like, maybe because they're in the nightclub and they've been drinking, they always want to poke them in the crotch. So he wears a cup because he's just like, I just don't want people touching anything down there. Have you had, what's your experience with that kind of stuff?
Mostly for cosplayers, we wear dancer's belts, which are like the same thing like dancers or ballerinas would wear for that.
So it's kind of like a jock strap, right?
Something like that, but it just turns you into a Ken doll. Like, okay. You're just kind of flat below
just
the
mush
belt.
It.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're basically kind of like drag.
With
a tucking pants.
It's actually exactly like that, yeah.
Right?
My tucking panties to get that mound.
But yeah, there's definitely the like awkward hand around the shoulder that just starts creeping lower during the photo.
Joe, in terms of like, you know, bodybuilding, getting ready for a contest, you were telling me before we started taping that for you, it's mostly getting lean. Cutting is the expression, right? But for someone like for myself, and I'm thinking of, I guess I'm announcing this now, in 2024, I'm going to step on the stage. Ooh. First time at the age of 51.
Nice.
It's
masters. We use the term masters.
I'm not ready, but
masturbating to
master. So I guess it part of me is like, you know, I want to get big enough to then cut back down, because it is, in a lot of ways, it's like figure drawing. You're sort of drawing the figure and then you're defining it.
Right.
You know, to create this image of an ideal physique. Right. And in terms of for you, it's mostly you're then getting lean enough. So then you know, people can see sort of the muscularity and where you're big and where you can improve on.
Right. The idea is that your off season is really your time to try to put on muscle mass and try to get bigger. When you're preparing for a show and trying to lean down for something like that, you typically want to do it as slowly as possible. So people can lose a lot of weight really fast, but you'll end up losing a lot of muscle mass with that. So if you can draw that out over a longer period and have a slow but steady fat loss program over weeks, months, sometimes, that's going to be a much better physique at the end because you'll have retained so much muscle along the way. Whereas if you just starved yourself, you would lose all of it at the same rate.
And, you know, some people are enhanced and other people take a non-enhanced approach. We're talking about steroids and performance enhancing drugs. And, you know, in terms of a lot of these contests, it's, you know, it's really hard to determine whether somebody has been juicing or not. For you, it's like, have you ever been tempted to sort of, you know, go in that direction?
I think everyone goes through that temptation phase with that. But so far, I've only competed in naturally tested federations. So I actually have to get polygraph test before going.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you have to go get a lie detector test.
Oh, I had no idea that was part of the situation.
Yeah,
people fail.
There have been people that have failed.
So they're like, when's your birthday? Which is actually...
Are you in a room? What is the, what's your hometown? Like they'll ask you some control questions. Yeah, more or less. Okay. Have you taken any banned substances?
Well, let's do the quiz right now.
Okay.
All right, Joe. What's your name?
Joe.
Lie. That is not true. Do you have,
it's Joseph.
When's your birthday?
April 16th.
Oh my God.
It's the same as Fausto's.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, technically, my birthday is April 1st, but legally, it's...
Does that make us all Aries, Mark?
I'm an Aquarius.
Oh, you're Aquarius.
Yeah. So I'm doing this podcast video stream with two Aries, but Aquarius can hold their own.
Well, we're all Superman here in one group. So how many times a week do you lift?
Typically 5 to 6.
Okay. And is it a bro split? Is it push-pull legs? Is it fat?
It's close to a push-pull legs at this point, but it's a little different because my coach and I have switched some things up for me, but it's 2 leg days and then 2 upper or 4 upper body days.
Okay, have you ever shot up insulin?
No.
Have you ever shot up testosterone and then fit?
No.
Have you ever...
snorted creatine?
No. That sounds so painful.
Have you ever smoked opium?
No.
Have you ever had sex with your personal trainer?
No. He's happily married.
Well, listen, what are you doing here then?
Sorry.
Time to get out and live a little life.
That's why I'm here, Foster.
Well, you're so wholesome. You know, it's like you're like Superman. You're like a Boy Scout.
I was a Boy Scout.
You were?
I'm an Eagle Scout, actually.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, you went all the way, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Is that when you first... met special gentlemen?
No.
Because I've known a few Eagle Scouts who are just like, yeah, I spent all of my Eagle Scouts camping with my buddies.
No, none of that happened. I had a very good positive experience with the Scouts.
So, but that's where you learn how to tie knots.
Yep.
Wonder Woman, back to Wonder Woman there, you know.
That's where I learned all the special skills.
And when you learn how to make a liar tell the truth.
What was the hardest badge to earn?
I think the archery badge.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was like you have to get this many points, you know, in a round of shooting, you know, 5 to 10 arrows or whatever it was. I remember, and I literally spent a week doing it at a summer camp.
And you didn't do any bullets versus bracelets?
Nope. No, just catch those out of the air. That's no problem.
You know how they did that for Wonder Woman, the Linda Carter TV show? They had little explosives on her wrists.
Oh, really?
So they basically blanks on her...
on her wrist. Oof. And sometimes she... So if you look at her, she's kind of like, oh.
Yeah,
she's
expecting it.
Yeah.
She's anticipating the thing. And it's not very comfortable.
Yeah.
But so you know, in a lot of ways, like being a Boy Scout sort of drew you to Superman, which drew you to bodybuilding, which, you know... sort of awoken your sexual interest in muscle. And, you know, some guys that I know who are gay and they're bodybuilders, they have a very good separation between the two. Like, they don't sexualize the muscle. And sometimes you look at their romantic partners and they're not bodybuilders at all, or even muscular at all. For you both, you've dated other bodybuilders, right?
Yeah, I've dated a few people I met at the gym.
And how was that relationship like?
Those are both fine.
Yeah.
Is it something you're drawn to? Or like, are you specifically looking for somebody who lifts?
I don't know if I could date someone who wasn't involved in some sort of fitness thing, just because I don't think they would understand, you know, diet or going to the gym that often. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just more of a lifestyle compatibility than like, ooh, that's what I'm attracted to in the gym.
Because a lot of people complain about being like a gym widow. You mm-hmm. know? Like, my husband's at the gym all the time. I never see him. Right.
I mean, yeah, I'm the one who is at the gym all the time. And Mark is, you know,
I go during like the day when things, you know, he'll go like at 11 o'clock at night. And I'm just like, I'm ready for bed.
Listen, I got to get that workout in sooner or later, you know.
I'm not saying I've never done like the midnight workout before.
I have too.
Yeah.
It's just hard, you know.
Yeah, I don't like doing it, but I'm not saying I haven't done it before.
Well, there's a study that was done. And as they say, the sooner you get your workout in the day, the better it is for your body, because I guess it releases certain chemicals. And so they were like making little mice work out.
Just they throwing were, like, them on a treadmill at 4 a.m.
No, but they were like testing basically the impacts of exercise at the time of the day. Mm-hmm. And it's dramatically better for your body to do it earlier in the day. But a lot of bodybuilders, they usually have like one or two meals and then they hit the gym. And most people are at work at that time.
Yeah.
You know, so for you, like, are you able to like balance your work and your training in a way that, you know, is ideal for you?
Yeah, typically I'm a desk job 9 to 5 and then hit the gym afterwards. In some of the more closer to competition time or something, yeah, I might get up early and do extra cardio in the morning before going to work, just so I don't end up spending 3 hours in the gym at night when I'm already tired.
Yeah.
I'm always amazed at people that can get up like at 4 o'clock in the morning and or 4:30, hit the gym at 5 a.m., have a complete workout, eat, and then go work. And I'm just like, oh, man.
Yeah, that would require more coffee than I can consume that fast.
Getting up so early is just like mind-boggling to me.
And the few times I've done it where if I know, like, oh, I'm not going to be able to make it tonight, and I got to go to the gym in the morning, then about 2 o'clock hits in that afternoon, and I'm slumped over at desk.
Joe, what do you eat before you go to the gym after work?
I'm one of those weird people. I eat throughout the day, and then like about like 2 or 3 o'clock is probably when I cut off eating, just because I don't like having that feeling of food in my stomach when I'm going lifting. Like, I have to have eaten something to have energy to lift, but I hate having like that full stomach feeling. I'm trying to like push a weight and not puke at the same time.
Yeah, like for me, I have blueberries, yogurt, and granola. And it's kind of like it's almost like you're having the second breakfast. You know what I'm saying? So I like to have something in my stomach, but not too much.
Yeah. It's just a delicate balance.
Lifting when you're starving is also like, oh my God, kill me. You know?
Yeah. I want to wait at least like an hour or something. Like, I'll have a smoothie, but like, that's gotta be an hour beforehand or something. You don't, cause like he'll have a full meal and then go to the gym, and I'm just kind of like, I'm burping.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Especially if you're like foam rolling or you're, you know, doing something where you're facing down, it's like all the food,
you know.
Why do you push yourself like this? Like, for people who don't understand bodybuilding and your mindset, you know, they're just thinking, well, he's just horny for a muscular guy.
Because I've got goals. The whole lifting thing started just kind of as a hobby to keep myself entertained. You know, I was super active growing up. I was always doing some sport pretty much year round.
What was your sport?
I did everything. I did gymnastics early on, baseball, soccer in high school. I did cross country, wrestling, and track.
Wow. So you've always been very physical.
Yeah. So once I kind of like faded out, and you know, there's not really adult leagues and I'm not pro in anything, I was like, I need to stay active somehow. So like lifting kind of became a big focus. So it's kind of, you know, it was kind of the perfect trifecta of, I had a job to really work out my mind, I had lifting to work out my body, and then I had cosplay to work out my creativity and like artistic side. So it's kind of a full spectrum that way.
When you started lifting, how did you learn about lifting? Did you have a trainer, or were you going to YouTube? Did you get books?
I mean, early on, I think the biggest thing was like the bodybuilding.com forums. Mm-hmm. I think depending on when people started lifting, I think that's a cultural touchstone for a lot of people, of like the old school message boards on the Miss forum. for so that.
You've gleaned a lot of information from there.
Yep. That's kind of where it started. That was probably pre YouTube days. I think then once that started coming out, that's been a lot more popular. And, I've had my current trainer now for almost, about the last decade. I've been working with, my same trainer.
What's his name or her name?
His name is Peter Fitchin of Fit Body Physique.
All right. Hey, Peter.
Yeah.
What's up?
No.
Yeah. And he's on Instagram.
Yep. Fit Body Physique.
Mm-hmm. That's so nice. Yeah. And you have a very close relationship.
Yeah, we had, we were actually at school at the same time, but we didn't know each other at that, when we were both in school together. So we met up afterwards when he was working on his PhD, and I was out of school at that point.
And he has a PhD in muscle?
In nutrition.
Okay.
Wow. So, so like, tell me about, more about your food then, like, because I'm, you know, for a lot of people, it's like they just don't know what to eat, or sometimes they just like give up and they just want to, like, you know, just be eating a slice of pizza because they're just like at their odds end. And obviously it's not something that's conducive.
That's the thing that holds a lot of people back, because they want the muscle. But if you're not eating right or eating enough, then
you can't outwork a diet if your diet's not in shape. So for me, when I'm getting ready for a competition, I count macros. For people who don't know, that is your macronutrients. So that's certain amounts of protein, carbohydrates, and fats each day. So it's just like a food budget, basically, of you can eat whatever you want as long as you don't go over this budget of daily allotment for that.
Mm-hmm. So how are you going to calculate the macros on a big bowl of chili?
I mean, most of it is making food yourself is a lot part of it, because then you have to know what goes into it. And so there's a lot of spreadsheets involved and calculators to figure out. Yeah.
Is your trainer doing that for you?
He'll give me usually numbers of like what to hit for a week or a daily total or something. But when it comes to day to day, what do I eat? There's a lot of great apps out there for it, or, My Macros Plus is a good one. I think MyFitnessPal still has a good food tracker app for those. And those are great for, you know, I want to know what a banana calories are, or if I go out to eat, if I get a sandwich from Subway, what does that work like?
Well, that's the big obstacle, right? Because it's like, you know, we can grill a chicken breast, have some broccoli and white rice. You do like bright rice and vegetables. Sorry, I messed up that line from Showgirls. But you know, when you're, a lot of people don't eat that way. They're mixing ingredients together into a casserole, into a soup, into a salad, and then determining what's in there becomes a lot more difficult, because then you have to create a portion from that meal.
Yep. I pretty much bring a scale with me.
And so you're like scaling the food out of this bowl of food that you made. And
yep, I bring Tupperwares with me when I travel usually.
Did you bring any food with you today?
Not today. I didn't think I could survive the 3 hours here for it. I think. To me stopping at a gas station buying a protein bar.
We gotta get something to eat after we're done here, you know? What kind of food, like, do you like to eat when you're, like, traveling someplace else?
I mean, as long as if I'm in Chicago, I gotta get a slice of pizza while I'm here.
What's your favorite pizza?
I'm gonna go with Pizzeria Uno.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you a thin crust, deep dish?
Oh, it's a deep dish.
And Chicago what kind of style. Stuffing do you want?
I'll usually go, like, pepperoni at least, but then some sort of meat lovers.
Yeah, we're very Lumalnadis, you know.
That's good.
Mark and I, we're relaxing and stuff. We like to get a sausage, spinach, mushroom, deep dish pizza.
Yes. People like
to take home.
And that's a couple times a year. Yeah. It's not an everyday food.
Yeah. People like yesterday. Yeah, people like to act.
We had thin crust pizza yesterday, which, you know, people in Chicago, everybody thinks it's deep dish all the time, but it's like, you know, most of the time we eat tavern style.
Yeah.
Except Fausto hates the square cut, so he's always like, cut it like a pizza pie.
Yeah, I'm with Fausto on this one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you and I are like,
you're April 16th.
Yeah, we're alternate matching. We're synced.
You're serious. You're stubborn. You're ram heads.
If we touch each other, the universe will sparks will fly.
Let's see. Wow.
Can we
get
we
on can't camera? See
that. Well, I can kind of do it like this. Here, bring it into the frame. And then we can put your hand like
there
that.
There we go.
You have very nice nails.
Oh, thank you.
Mine are not as nice as yours.
You gotta do my nails for me.
So we have some questions from our listeners.
Oh, wow.
David.
All right.
I want to get freaky huge and become a fitness influencer. This is a real question.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to shame David. So this is word for word. I want to get freaky huge and become a fitness influencer without being a slut.
Okay.
What? What's the point then?
I think, can you recommend a good training and steroid program, and how long will it take me to get there?
I mean, it's taken me 10 years to get where I'm at. So if you want to get freaky huge, I can't imagine how much longer it's going to take on top of that. But yeah, there's lots of good starting strength is a good program if you're just getting started at the gym, which is usually like a 3 day per week program.
It's full body time.
Yeah, that usually focuses on the big three, your bench, squat, and deadlift. That's always a good one. I think you mentioned before, like your push pull leg workouts, like those are good places to start as well.
And when we talk about a bro split, it's usually a 5 day or 6 day, which each body part is being trained on a separate day. But the problem with that is when you're getting started, you want to build up strength. And because with the strength then comes the size. If you're, you know, and for a lot of people, it's like, I've tried nothing and I'm all out of solutions. And then a lot of them are just doing, you know, dumbbell curls or doing there. I call it tinkering. You know, there's not a lot of interest in compound movements in the fundamentals. And, you know, this is like learning how to dance. You want to learn how to the moves so then you can shine on the dance floor.
Yeah, I'd say the two things that are most important getting started out are number one, being consistent and keeping up with it. And then, like we talked about before, some progressive overload. So constantly pushing the edge of your limits then.
And progressive overload, how would you describe that to people besides the bull on your back?
It's not always going up. I mean, I think we talked about that before and made it sound like that we were constantly ramping up and there are points where you start over again or you
deload
exactly. Yeah. And take a week off or lose, do much higher rep work with lower weights or something like that. But it is every week trying to lift a certain amount more. And there is a trade-off for weight versus reps in each of those weeks as well.
Well, I think, you know, when we think about like the body and muscle, and because we live in a capitalistic society, it's always bigger, bigger, more, 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 more. And I like to have a different approach, which is breathing, which is expansion and contraction. And if you're doing it right, you know, your body actually benefits a lot from contracting and expanding. It's not necessarily bad for it. But make no mistakes, like bodybuilding can be very detrimental to your body because you're pushing it hardcore.
Oh, yeah. It's very hard on you. There's lots of recovery, but I'm still trying to get better at stretching every day just to keep everything in place.
What are you not doing that you should do?
Probably foam rolling as much as I should.
Oh my God, I'm such a big fan of foam rolling.
Some bodybuilders, they say they're foam rolling 4 or 5 times a day. Isn't that wild?
Wow. Maybe I should just bring it with me to the office and just talk about it. Yeah,
we can do it.
Yeah, we can all foam roll afterwards.
You know, part of it is too, is like, I think, you know, when you're wanting attention, because this is like a question that we get asked a lot, like I'm going to start a podcast or a YouTube channel or an Instagram channel. And at this point, it's all kind of the same thing. It's this mosh of content. It's a service oriented job. And if you're wanting to do all this stuff because you want to receive attention, you know, it's going to take you to a really dark place. It's going to, you know, the reason that they made Steve Rogers Captain America was because he understood what it was like to not be muscular and big and strong. He understood what it meant to be in service of others, to sacrifice yourself. And I think, you know, when you're wanting to become a fitness influencer everybody's an influencer to somebody, you know, just maybe one person or it can be millions of people. Ultimately, I think it's about like, are you leaving that other person? You're leaving the world a better place than you found it. And it's very Boy Scout, you know, I mean, you're putting up a lot of content on, you know, no muscle suit needed.
Yeah, you know? I think I put more cosplay content up there than I do bodybuilding advice. But there have been people who DM me or will ask these kinds of things and I'll try to point them towards good resources online.
I always find that the question, like, you know, how long does it take to me is very, product oriented or capitalistic oriented. It's like, I want to buy a good body. I want to buy a good life. And I'm like, a good life is a decision you make. It's a it's a mindset. It's not something you can buy.
Right.
Because it's not for sale.
And everybody's different. You see some people and they're able to transform their bodies in a year, 2 years or 3 years. And you're just like, it's just so amazing how they're able to do it. And then other people are like, I've been working out for 10 years, 12 years, 15 years, and just not gotten to the point where they want it yet.
Yeah. And I think that's more important along the way, is that the difference of where you start to where you finish. It's the changes you make along the way. It's not, this is the goal physique I'm trying to reach. It's, here are the changes I've made to my body along the way. I think that people should focus on more than an end goal. I want to be this big.
Where you are or who you are is good enough, right? It's not the mantra.
Never good enough. No, but it's about, you know, loving yourself unconditionally. And that means accepting your body the way it is now. And also wanting the best food, the best fitness, the best relaxing. The all that stuff, the camera's gonna be fine. Okay. You can shake it a little bit.
Okay.
That's why, how you know it's real. This is, we can do like a Star Trek.
Turbulence.
Turbulence. Turbulence. All right. So yeah, in terms of, it's about wanting to have the best life possible for yourself. And that means your body is going to be the vehicle that gets you there. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, God, if you're having massive diarrhea or you're feeling like crap, you're not want to get out of bed. You're not going to have those experiences that you want to go to, be on stage at Comic Book and and meet Joe, you know, so handsome and cute.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, I'm sure like after this podcast, people are going to be like sending you all kinds of, you know, sliding into your DMs, as the kids say today.
There we go.
Would you date a cosplay villain?
A cosplay villain? Like, oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Because I'm pretty good at dressing up as a, you know, Bizarro Superman.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, kind of my nickname.
Yeah. I was thinking about it before. I haven't done very many villains. I've only done heroes. I don't know what that says about me. That I'm.
You're wholesome.
I'm old. Well, I'm trying to be wholesome. Trying too hard.
Because you're not, you know, like naughty girls need love too. You know, that song goes. Like you get more pleasure in being in service to others.
Well, that's one way to put it.
You know.
I like that spin. I'll take that better than the, what am I trying to hide?
But you're not like a prankster, you know. You're not a, like for me, I'm like, I'm very attracted to, you know, having excitement, and excitement sometimes comes from uncertainty. Like, you know, we've never met this guy before. He came into our house dressed up as Superman. Oh. I mean, it's wild, you know, and you and I and Mark share so much in common. And it's like, to me, it's really, you know, extraordinary that we still live in a world that something like this can happen and that we can get together and have this amazing conversation for other people to benefit from.
Yeah. Know? I mean, do you remember growing up, people told you, you know, never meet someone from the internet, and here's what I do all day is meet friends. Yeah.
There was no internet. Yeah. But we were growing up.
Well, don't go into a stranger's house. Yeah. You know?
Don't get into a stranger's car. No. Although I have.
Well, you knew who they were, you know. Have you in terms of like icons, Captain America, so you remember the first film with Chris Evans where he transforms into Chris Evans. Mm-hmm. And they stick him in the box and they shove him with Vita rays and steroids. Mm-hmm. And he goes, ah, and opens up and he comes out. And he's like, how you doing?
And what is it? The first thing she does is
immediately just grabs him.
Like, she's like,
but also real? I have to correct you. Me, it was a Fantastic Four, Chris Evans.
Oh yeah, like Johnny Storm.
Yeah, where he burns off all his suit for it.
That was what made him a star.
Yeah.
He was so gorgeous.
That made him into a sex symbol superstar, right?
Yeah, and you know, in the movie, what is it, a Starlight, where he sacrifices himself. Chris Evans in that movie.
Starlight.
Yeah, it's like a ship going into the sun. Because the sun is about to extinguish itself.
Oh, what was the name of that movie?
I think it was Starlight.
No, I don't know if it was. Was it Starlight?
Something
like that. But who else was in that movie? Somebody else was
the villain, the Scarecrow from the Batman movie.
Yes, he was in that movie as well. What was it?
So yeah, in terms of, you know, like it's that iconic transformation. It's like, you know, and there was like a lot of criticisms about comic book superheroes that they were like, you know, Captain America is going to turn America's youth onto steroids. And I'm just like, so what if they turn onto steroids? You know, at least they're not doing crack cocaine, you know, and even if they are doing crack cocaine, everybody can be redeemed. You know, it's like we have this puritanical idea that, like, you know, once your body touches this poison or this forbidden substance, and you know, gay sex was that way too. Mm-hmm. That now you can't. You're impure. You're forever lost.
Well, I think the story they pretty much come out right out and say it in the movie is don't let this change who you are inside for any of that. So I think that's true for any fitness journey or anything like that is don't let it change who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. Just let it become
unless your personage needs change.
Yeah,
that's always the road to self improvement.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I think I heard this one from Coco Peru. May all your dreams come true. But if they're shitty dreams and they're about hurting other people, I really hope they don't. Wonder Woman, you know, is about bondage. But, you know, the interesting thing is like in the movie 1984, when was it from Saturday Night Live? Kristen Wiig turns into Wonder Woman. She goes to the gym and she's like lifting weights as Cheetah. You know, did you see that sequence?
Yep.
Her superpower was that she was able to wear high heels, though.
Yeah.
That was the first. She's like, I want to be but like her.
Well-fitting high heels.
You know, and then, so then she starts wearing, well, is that what it is?
Yeah, they're well-fitting. That's why, no.
Well, and part of that is like, you know, it's this idea of like sexuality and, you know, sexual prowess is tied to fitness. And it's like, you know, your ability to be sexy and your ability to be fit are two separate things. Or are they?
I do. I think... I mean, sexy can be anything. I think it's a more self-confidence than anything else.
Does Superman lift weights?
I mean, nothing's heavy enough for him to lift. So.
But does he work out? Like in some comic books, he is hitting the gym and sweating.
Yeah, there's sometimes that everyone's got to lift. Everyone's got to get a pump every once in a while.
He goes lifts the moon.
Yeah.
What about Colossus of the X-Men? Is that an icon for you?
Yeah. That was a good one. Yeah. There was that whole... That whole group of 90s cartoon X-Men that was, you know, you had your Wolverines, your Colossus.
You have a lot of Wolverine energy.
It's just the beard. It's the beard. And this is only a couple of years I've been growing this.
If you get really mad, do the spikes come out of your fingers and stuff like that?
That's my secret. I'm always mad. But
that's the Hulk.
Yeah.
You know, and Lou Ferrigno in the title sequence of the television series, The Incredible Hulk, rips out of a, by the way, crossweave fabric, which is way easier to get out of.
It wasn't like perforated or like they didn't like pre-cut it.
Well, if you're wearing like a, you know, like a traditional woven fabric, then it's really easy to rip out of it. But if you're wearing like knitted stuff, it's impossible to rip out of it, you know? And I can't tell you how many shirts I've seen destroyed on the internet in referencing that, you know? Did you watch the series The Incredible Hulk ever? Or?
Yeah, it probably was reruns at that point, but yeah, I definitely remember seeing those growing up.
Lou Ferrigno, who played The Incredible Hulk, actually had a cameo in the series, and he plays a bodybuilder, and he goes to Bill Bixby, who, you know, he's like, are you sure you don't want to lift weights? You would look great all pumped up like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he shows up in the Incredible Hulk, the first movie or something. He's like a security guard or something.
He's
that he bribes with pizza.
Well, no, he's a security guard and he's talking to Stan Lee.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. But in the TV series, Lou Ferrigno, he is I guess a manager or a bodybuilder in the gym. He has a bit brief cameo, but then the Incredible Hulk inevitably gets on stage in a bodybuilding contest and he's like, and everyone's like, give him the prize, you know.
Is there a purple Speedo at least?
He was wearing his torn up jeans.
There we go.
Why did those jeans ever stay on him? I don't know. I always wanted
to. He didn't do legs, that's why.
He skipped leg day.
Well, the Incredible Hulk physique.
Well, that's the thing, you know, like with gamma radiation, if it hits your muscles, you're a superhero. If it hits your brain, you're a super villain.
Ooh.
Why is that wrong? You know, because it's so messed up, you know, like the strong superheroes are always good. And the really intelligent comic books, they're always like villains.
I think Hulk was supposed to be like this whole anti-nuclear thing.
Yeah.
For that. So I think it was just, you know, here are the dangers of radiation and nuclear technology.
Wasn't the Hulk when Stan Lee first started writing? Wasn't it based on his wife or something? There's some
She-Hulk maybe.
There's some story. I think that he's like.
Was she a scientist or something or what?
I don't remember exactly. I think that when he first drew her, she the Hulk kind of looked like the wife.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm.
You know, there was something about,
so you got a divorce.
I'm going to have to Google it or something like that. No, they had a long, long marriage. They were together for, you know, years and years.
Oh, wow. And what do you think about, like, you know, Batman? Because, you know, Batman always is breaking his back.
Did you see the movie? Yeah.
Yeah. And he's in prison and he's working out and he manages to have like a bodybuilder body in like Arkham prison or something. Mm-hmm. Right. I think that's kind of like
they impossible. Don't feed, yeah, they don't feed them just bologna sandwiches at Arkham. They feed them some super
apparently
nutrients.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although my favorite game to play recently is which actor or actress in Batman and Robin turned you gay?
Was it Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman or the Penguin as Danny DeVito?
Oh, no, Batman Robin. So is it George Clooney bat nipples? Is it Chris O'Donnell Robin? Uma Thurman as Poison Ivy?
All gay icons.
Yeah.
Well, you know, was it Joel Schumacher who made that film? I mean, he's been involved in so many things, but like he wrote, I think, and directed the movie Car Wash, which you probably, you might not have ever heard, but what's the iconic line from Car Wash? Well,
people know the theme song.
Yeah. At the car
wash.
Dun, dun, dun. It was a disco theme. Mm-hmm. Right? And then there's, you know, a gender non-conforming person working there, and they were kind of, somebody was insulting it, and she's just like, I'm more of a woman than you'll ever get and more of a man than you'll ever be.
Yeah. So, yeah, and certainly, you know, the Batman and Robin, which has Uma Thurman. God, so many lines like, I feel so much more yummier. But that's actually Michelle Pfeiffer in the second
one.
Batman,
yeah.
With as Catwoman, Selina.
My name's Ivy. What's yours?
My name's Ivy. You know, part of it is like, you know, with comic book superheroes is about like pursuing your fantasies, you know. For you, like, if you could have the ideal body for you, would it be bigger? What would that look like?
I think if you ask anybody this question, they're going to ask if you want a bigger body. I think they'd say yes. I don't think anybody would say no to that. But.
And is that something you're going to continue to pursue?
I'm going to keep trying as long as I can stay healthy and keep doing it.
Yeah. Fake it till you make it.
Something like that.
Keep eating those 6 egg whites every morning, right?
Yeah.
How many eggs did you have for breakfast today?
Half dozen.
That's amazing.
Egg whites.
Whole eggs or egg whites?
Egg whites.
Egg whites. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had 3 full eggs. Mm-hmm. I just don't like the egg yolk without the egg yolks, you know?
Yeah, I think my coworkers saw me at the grocery store buying like the double decker thing of eggs, and they're like, are you baking something this weekend? I'm like, no, that's just going to get me through the week.
I mean, I eat 30 eggs a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mark eats more eggs than you or I do.
Because I'll have eggs for snack.
Hard-boiled egg or like a...
No, like, just like scrambled or fried or something like that. Or even an omelet or whatnot. Like if it's a late night snack or after whatever, I got him to eat an egg sandwich like at 11 o'clock p.m. at night. And I'm just like, congratulations, you're eating eggs at nighttime. You know, he's just like, I can't eat eggs at night. It's just a breakfast food. And I'm just like, that's just a wall you put up in your mind.
No, breakfast for dinner.
Yeah.
Once you break down that barrier that you're an adult and you can eat whenever you want.
You know, and it's a fast, simple, tasty meal.
Yeah.
Well, Joe, thank you so much for dressing up as Superman. I kind of don't want you to ever take it off.
I want to see you fly.
Yeah.
Can you fly?
Can you get
up on there and jump?
I say, you got some low ceilings in here. I don't know.
No, but
can I toss you? Yeah, yeah.
But so anyways, thank you so much for coming over. So people can follow you on Instagram at Muscle Suit Not Needed, fully spelled out.
Yep.
And of course, you're on other social medias, Joe Mikeson.
Yep, that's right.
And it's spelled Mikasan.
That's right.
Like not Daniel-san from Karate Kid, but Mike.
Yep.
Mike-san. Wax on, wax off. And remember, folks, Feast of Fun and Let's Grow Big Together is made possible because of fantastic, fabulous people like you. You can go to feastoffun.com/donate and make a one-time contribution because these cameras, honey, it's like, has to happen, you know? And we really rely on your financial support to make this happen. And I know that you guys love the podcast. And please write us a review on Apple Podcasts or give us a thumbs up on Spotify, Google Podcasts, because it helps other people who are searching for this stuff find us.
For sure. And one of the best ways to support the podcast is to become a Plus member. And you can do that at feastoffun.com/plus. And for an ad-free experience, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/feastoffun.
Yes, where you can get it ad-free, honey. Yes, remember, fearlessly be yourself. Joe, thank you so much for coming again.
Oh, thanks for having me. This was great.
And come back often.
Anytime, Joe.
Thanks for watching and listening. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Okay, let's get to the Fortress of Solitude now.